This audio information from Developing Patient Partnerships is designed to help you manage your health and well-being. Each module has two tracks. The first will give you information about the subject. The next one is a practical skills track, which can be listened to regularly to help you build your learning. The following audio information is not intended to be medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. You should seek advice before relying on this audio information if you are pregnant, taking medication, involved in any form of medical treatment, or if symptoms persist. Where any form of physical exertion is involved, it's advisable to proceed carefully. If you experience any discomfort, stop. If you're in doubt, consult your doctor.
When it comes to back pain, ask any doctor, nurse, physio, chiropractor, or osteopath, and they'll all tell you the same thing. That staying active is the single best way to beat back pain, or even prevent it from striking in the first place. But what can you do if you're prone to long-term back pain and it's pretty much a constant problem for you? This audio information is brought to you by DPP Health at Work, the UK's specialist provider of health and well-being information. In the next few minutes, we're going to look at how being active can benefit your back, whether you experience back pain or not, and how to think about getting more active to improve both your back health and your overall sense of well-being. Our back expert, Dr. David Peters, will take you through some exercises to help strengthen your core muscles and motivate you to get active and stay active. Long-term back pain usually happens when back muscles have forgotten how to relax. It's important to realize that simply by being tense, a muscle will get sore. Try this if you don't believe it. Take a firm grip on one thumb with the other hand and keep squeezing hard. Notice how the gripping hand and forearm quite quickly start to ache. Stop as soon as you feel it, but learn from this demo that when a muscle works hard without relaxing, it will get sore and crampy. Another factor could be your posture. Does it put extra demands on your back muscles? Do certain areas stiffen up or have to overwork? For instance, tight muscles in the backs of the thighs will tilt the pelvis so that the back has to flatten out, which affects overall spinal movement. Weak stomach muscles do the opposite, allowing the low back to tilt the other way, exaggerating your low back curve. Does your work involve movements or positions that put a strain on your back or force you to adopt tense and awkward postures? If this is the case, speak to your boss, occupational health department, or health and safety representative. Employers are anxious to prevent back pain and will do all that they can to help you work comfortably. The fact that mental tension triggers patterns of tightness in the neck, shoulders, back, and hips helps explain why back or joint pain so often accompanies stress, anxiety, and depression. Think about how your body expresses how we feel, what your body does when you feel sad, fearful, or angry. This tension is in the muscles as well as the mind. Clearly, our emotions are in the body as well as the mind. So persistent emotional stress, not just physical strain, can cause muscles to tense up long term. We all know that being active and taking regular exercise is good for us, and that it reduces the risk of serious health problems like heart disease, diabetes, and stroke. We know that it helps us lose weight or stay at a healthy weight, but it's also a great stress reliever, makes you feel more energized, and helps you sleep better. And exercise is a very effective cure for moderate depression. But how exactly does being active benefit you if you're prone to long-term back pain? Your back is built for movement. And contrary to popular belief, most backache is not due to a prolapsed, slipped disc. Even leg pain, sciatica, which many practitioners and patients believe must be caused by a trapped nerve, is commonly due to a strained buttock muscle or sacroiliac ligament. Usually, this kind of painful tension and stiffness is triggered by overuse, weekend gardening, overloading, heavy lifting with wrong technique, or overstretching, a side bend when switching off the bedside lamp. If your back doesn't get the exercise or stretching it needs, it will lack the strength and flexibility required for normal movement. Then it will need to use a high proportion of this reduced strength just to do everyday jobs. What's more, a stiff back makes fewer of the sorts of movements that keep good circulation going in the muscles and joints. And once it gets more tense and stiff and more irritable, your back is more likely to set off the alarm system that triggers muscle spasm and pain. It's especially important to grasp this idea if you have a long-term back problem. The idea that low back pain is due to tissue damage or inflammation is misleading. If your muscles were torn or inflamed, then of course you would need to stop and rest, probably for days until it healed. But if you're getting one bout of back pain after another, and probably without doing much to provoke it, the notion that there's some sort of injury happening makes no sense. What's more likely to be happening is that the part of your back that got irritated originally has become oversensitive. Several things can be done once you realise that the oversensitivity has to do with a loss of strength and stretchiness. Then the answer becomes obvious. If you want to make the sensitive areas stronger and more flexible, then exercise is the answer. So, how active should you be for your back's sake? Well, apart from exercises that aim specifically at an irritable region, long-term back pain usually gets better as your general level of fitness improves. So if you've got a bad back, the answer is become more active rather than less, which means in general, you should aim to be active for at least half an hour a day on 5 days of the week. This doesn't necessarily mean going hard at it for half an hour. Shorter bursts of activity can be quite as effective, particularly if you've got back problems, and will gradually help you to improve or regain overall fitness. If you've any doubts about your health and ability to start exercising, speak to your practice nurse or GP. And if you haven't seen a health professional about your persistent long-term back problem, then you definitely should, because physiotherapists, for instance, can help guide you with exercises specifically targeted at particular muscles you may need to work on. If you're very overweight, you're more likely to suffer from back pain. Think about it. If your muscles are having to support a lot of extra weight around your waist, then the low back is bound to bear the brunt, which is why losing weight can sometimes be the key to easing that strain. An exercise program for building your back up and getting more active will be doubly important if you are overweight. One of the easiest, cheapest, and most effective ways to be more active is to get walking. Walking is a great form of activity that most people can do, and it's really beneficial for preventing back pain. It really is an excellent way of being active while reducing your risk of developing back pain in the first place. Even short walks can help. Think of ways that you can build more walking into your daily routine. Keep active when you're at work. It's easy to get sucked in when you're busy, and before you know it, the day's over and you've hardly had a chance to even get a bite to eat, let alone think about being active. Shifting your positioning, even if only slightly, makes all the difference. Better still, get up and stretch every hour. Remember, before doing any kind of activity, it's important to warm up. This is doubly so if you're experiencing back pain or tend to get it. Spend 5 minutes doing some of the gentle stretches that Dr. David Peters will take you through at the end of this audio information. This will help prepare your back and the rest of your body for activity. If the pain you get when you try to get active really prevents you, then you should definitely get some specialist advice from your GP, physio, or osteopath. Good self-help exercises for long-term back pain include swimming, walking, cycling, yoga, and Pilates. Many people who find it hard to get active say that swimming, because the weight is taken off the back, has allowed them, in time, to get fit enough to take up more active kinds of back fitness programs. Swimming backstroke is very effective, as it really gets the muscles in your back working. But be careful when doing breaststroke, as this can put strain on the neck unless you know how to do it properly. So what about specific exercise systems? The general aims for any kind of back exercise, whether it's for treating or preventing back pain, is to strengthen and stretch. Whether the exercises come from a physio, an osteopath, or a yoga teacher, they will all aim to achieve this. Acute back exercises are simple compared with the more targeted movements someone with a long-term back problem might need. Yoga and Pilates are excellent activities for improving your posture and flexibility, while at the same time strengthening your core muscles, among them your abdominal and back muscles. The timescale on building a better back is sometimes a matter of seasons and years, rather than weeks and months. You have to think about getting active as part of your daily routine. So whatever the system you follow, fitness or general, as well as specific exercises, be sure to increase your activity levels gradually. You're more likely to stick to the program if you know you're making progress, even though it might be slow. So keep a note of what you've done each day, and this will help you build on the previous day's activities. Plus, you could rate your level of exertion daily on a scale of 1 to 10 at the end of each activity, and so track improvements and see the benefits of keeping active and what works best.